The formless warrior uses the eye to start dreaming. If you don't have a form, you don't have to go to sleep to do dreaming. The eye in front of you pulls you every time you want to go. Where exactly is that eye, Gorda? She closed her eyes and moved her hand from side to side, right in front of her eyes, covering the span of her face. Sometimes the eye is very small, and other times it is enormous, she went on. When it's small, your dreaming is precise. If it's big, your dreaming is like flying over the mountains and not really seeing much. I haven't done enough dreaming yet, but the Narwhal told me that the eye is my trump card. One day when I become truly formless, I won't see the eye anymore. The eye will become just like me, nothing, and yet it'll be there like the allies. The Narwhal said that everything has to be shifted to our human form. When we have no form, then nothing has form, and yet everything is present. I couldn't understand what he meant by that, but now I see that he was absolutely right. The allies are only a presence, and so will be the I. But at this time, that I is everything to me. In fact, in having that I should need nothing else in order to call up my dreaming, even when I'm awake. I haven't been able to do that yet. Perhaps I'm like you, a bit stubborn and lazy. Why do you do flying you showed me tonight? How do you do flying you showed me tonight? The Narwhal taught me how to use my body to make lights, because we are light anyway. So I make sparks and lights, and they in turn lure the lines of the world. Once I see one, it's easy to hook myself to it. How do you hook yourself? I grab it. She made a gesture with her hands. She clawed them and then placed them together and joined at the wrist, forming a sort of bowl with the clawed fingers upright. You have to grab the lines like a jaguar, she went on, and never separate the wrist. If you do, you'll fall down and break your neck. She paused, and that forced me to look at her, waiting for more of her revelations. You don't believe me, do you? She said. Without giving me time to answer, she squatted and again began to produce her display of sparks. I was calm and collected, and I could place my undivided attention on her actions. When she snapped her fingers open, every fiber of her muscle seemed to tense at once. That tension seemed to be focused on the very tips of her fingers and was projected out like rays of light. The moisture in her fingertips was actually a vehicle to carry some sort of energy emanating from her body. How do you do that, LaGuardia? I asked, truly marveling at her. I really don't know, she said. I simply do it. I've done it lots and lots of times, and yet I don't know how I do it. When I grab one of those rays, I feel that I'm being pulled by something. I really don't do anything else except let the lines I've grabbed pull me. When I want to get back, though, I feel that the line doesn't want to let me free, and I get frantic. The Narwhal said that that was my worst feature. I get so frightened that one of these days I'm going to injure my body. But I figure that one of these days I'll get even more formless, and then I won't get frightened. So as long as I hold on until that day, I'm all right. Tell me then, Gorda, how do you let the lines pull you? We're back again in the same spot. I don't know. The Narwhal warned me about you. You want to know things that cannot be known. I struggled to make clear to her that what I was after was the procedures. I had really given up looking for an explanation from all them, because their explanations explained nothing to me. To describe to me in steps that were followed was something altogether different. How do you learn to let your body hold on to the lines of the world, I asked. I learned that in dreaming, she said, but I really don't know how. Everything for a woman warrior starts in dreaming. The Narwhal told me, just as he told you, first to look for my hands in my dreams. I couldn't find them at all. In my dreams, I had no hands. I tried and tried for years to find them. Every night I used to give myself the command to find my hands, but it was to no avail. I never found anything in my dreams. The narwhal was merciless with me. He said that I had to find them or perish. So I lied to him and said I had found my hands in my dreams. The narwhal didn't say a word, but Gennaro threw his hat on the floor and danced on it. He patted my head and said that I was really a great warrior. The more he praised me, the worse I felt. I was about to tell the narwhal the truth when crazy Gennaro aimed his behind at me and let out the loudest and longest fart I had ever heard. He actually pushed me backward with it. It was like a hot, foul wind, disgusting and smelly, just like me. The narwhal was choking with laughter. I ran to the house and hid there. I was very fat then. I used to eat a great deal and I had a lot of gas, so I decided to not to eat for a while. Lydia and Josephina helped me. I didn't eat anything for 23 days, and then one night I found my hands in my dreams. They were old and ugly and green, but they were Mayan, so that was the beginning. The rest was easy. And what was the rest, Gorda? The next thing the narwhal wanted me to do was to find houses or buildings in my dreams and look at them, trying not to dissolve the images. He said that the art of the dreamer is to hold on to the image of his dream, because that's what we do anyway during all our lives. What does he mean by that? Our art as ordinary people is that we know how to hold the image of what we are looking at. The narwhal said that we do that, but we don't know how. We just do it. That is, our bodies do it. In dreaming, we have to do the same thing, except that in dreaming, we have to learn how to do it. We have to struggle not to look, but merely to glance and yet hold the image. The narwhal told me to find in my dreams a brace for my belly button. It took me a long time because I didn't understand what he meant. He said that in dreaming we pay attention to our belly button and therefore it has to be protected. We need a little warmth or a feeling that something is pressing the belly button in order to hold the images in our dreams. I found the pebble in my dreams that fit my belly button, and the narwhal made me look for it day after day in watering holes and canyons until I found it. I made a belt for it, and I still wear it day and night. Wearing it made it easier for me to hold images in my dreams. Then the narwhal gave me the task of going to specific places in my dreaming. I was doing really well with my task, but at that time I lost my form and I began to see the eye in front of me. The narwhal said that the eye had changed everything, and he gave me orders to begin using the eye to pull myself away. He said that I didn't have time to get to my double in dreaming, but that the eye was even better. I felt cheated. Now I don't care. I used the eye the best way I could. I let it pull me in my dreaming, and I close my eyes and fall asleep like nothing, even in the daytime or anywhere. The eye pulls me, and I enter into another world. Most of the time, I just wander around in it. The narwhal told me and the little sisters that during our menstrual periods, dreaming becomes power. I get a little crazy, for one thing. I become more daring, and like the narwhal showed us, a crack opens in front of us during those days. You're not a woman, so I can't make any sense to you. But 2 days before her period, a woman can open that crack and step through it into another world. With her left hand, she followed the contour of an invisible line that seemed to run vertically in front of her arm's length. During that time, a woman, if she wants to, can let go of the images of the world, Agorda went on. That's the crack between the worlds. And as the narwhal said, it is right in front of all of us women. The reason the narwhal believes women are better sorcerers than men is because they always have the crack in front of them, while a man has to make it. Well, it was during my periods that I learned in dreaming to fly with the lines of the world. I learned to make sparks with my body to entice the lines, and then I learned to grab them. And that's all I have learned in dreaming so far. I laughed and told her that I had nothing to show for my years of dreaming. You've learned how to call the allies in dreaming, she said with great assurance. I told her that Don Juan had taught me to make those sounds, so she did not seem to believe me. The allies must come to you then, because they're seeking his luminosity, she said. The luminosity he left with you. He told me that every sorcerer has only so much luminosity to give away, so he parcels it out to all his children in accordance with an order that comes to him from somewhere out there in the vastness. In your case, he even gave you his own call. She clicked her tongue and winked at me. If you didn't believe me, she went on, why don't you make the sound the Nawal taught you and see if the allies come to you? I felt reluctant to do it, not because I believed that my sound would bring anything, but because I did not want to humor her. She waited for a moment, and when she was sure I was not going to try, she put her hand to her mouth and imitated my tapping sound to perfection. She played it for 5 or 6 minutes, stopping only to breathe. See what I mean? She asked, smiling. The allies don't give a fig about my calling, no matter how close it is to yours. Now try it yourself. I tried. After a few seconds, I heard the call being answered. Lagorda jumped to her feet. I had the clear impression that she was more surprised than I was. She hurriedly made me stop, turned off the lantern, and gathered up my notes. She was about to open the front door, but then she stopped short. A most frightening sound came from just outside the doors. It sounded to me like a growl. It was so horrendous and ominous that it made us both jump back away from the door. My physical alarm was so intense that I could have fled if I had had a place to go. Something heavy was leaning against the door. It made the door creak. I looked at Lagorda. She seemed to be even more alarmed. She was still standing with her arm outstretched as if to open the door. Her mouth was open. She seemed to have frozen in mid-action. The door was about to spring open any moment. There were no bangs on it, just a terrifying pressure, not only on the door, but all around the house. Lagorda stood up and told me to embrace her quickly from behind, locking my hands around her waist over her belly button. She performed then a strange movement with her hands. It was as though she was flipping a towel while holding it at the level of her eyes. She did it 4 times. Then she made another strange movement. She placed her hands at the middle of her chest with the palms up, one above the other, without touching. Her elbows were straight out to her sides. She clasped her hands as she had suddenly grabbed 2 unseen bars. She slowly turned her hands over until the palms were facing down, and then she made a most beautiful, exertive movement, a movement that seemed to engage every muscle in her body. It was as though she was opening a heavy sliding door that offered a great resistance. Her body shivered with the exertion. Her arms moved slowly as if opening a very, very heavy door until they were fully extended laterally. I had the clear impression that as soon as she opened that door, a wind rushed through. That wind pulled us, and we actually went through the wall. Or rather, the walls of the house went through us, or perhaps all three. Lagorda, the house, and myself went through the door she had opened, and all of a sudden, I was out in an open field. I could see the dark shapes of the surrounding mountains and trees. I was no longer holding on to Lagorda's waist. The noise above me made me look up, and I saw her hovering perhaps 10 feet above me, like a black shape of a giant kite. I felt a terrible itch in my belly button. Then Lagorda plummeted down to the ground at top speed, but instead of crashing, she came to a soft, total halt. At the moment Lagorda landed, the itch in my umbilical region turned into a horribly exhausting, nervous pain. It was as if her landing were pulling my insides out. I screamed in pain at the top of my voice. Then Legorda was standing next to me, desperately out of breath. I was sitting down. We were again in the room of Don Gennaro's house we had been in. Legorda seemed unable to catch her breath. She was drenched in perspiration. "We've got to get out of here," she muttered. It was a short drive to the little sister's house. None of them was around. Legorda lit a lantern and then led me directly to the open-air kitchen and back. There she undressed herself and asked me to bathe her like a horse by throwing water on her body. I took a small tub full of water and proceeded to pour it gently on her, but she wanted me to drench her. She explained that a contact with the Allies, like the one we had had, produced a most injurious perspiration that one had to wash off immediately. She made me take off my clothes and then drenched me in ice-cold water. Then she handed me a clean piece of cloth and we dried ourselves as we walked back into the house. She sat on the big bed in the front room after hanging the lantern on the wall above it. Her knees were up and I could see every part of her body. I hugged her naked body, and then it was then that I realized what Donna Soledad had meant when she said that Legorda was the Nawal's woman. She was formless like Don Juan, but I could not possibly think of her as a woman. I started to put on my clothes. She took them away from me. She said that before I could wear them again, I had to sun them. She gave me a blanket to put over my shoulders and got another one for herself. "That attack of the Allies was truly scary," she said, as we sat down on the bed. "We were really lucky that we could get out of their grip. I have no idea why the Nawal told me to go to Gennaro's with you. Now I know. The house is where the Allies are the strongest. They missed us by the skin of our teeth. We were lucky I knew how to get out." "How did you do it, Legorda?" "I really don't know," she said. "I simply did it. My body knew how, I suppose. But when I went to think how I did it, I can't." This was a great test for both of us. Until tonight, I didn't know that I could open the eye. But look what I did. I actually opened the eye, just as the Nawal said I could. I've never been able to do it until you came along. And I've never tried, but it never worked. This time, the fear of those Allies made me just grab the eye the way the Nawal told me to, by shaking it four times in its four directions. He said that I should shake it as I shake a bedsheet, and that I should open it as a door by holding it right in the middle. The rest was very easy. Once the door was opened, I felt the strong wind pulling me instead of blowing me away. "The trouble," the Nawal said, "is to return. You have to be very strong to do that." The Nawal and Gennaro and Eligio could go in and out of that eye like nothing. But then the eye was not even an eye. They said it was an orange light, like the sun. And so were the Nawal and Gennaro, an orange light when they flew. I'm still very low on the scale. The Nawal said that when I do my flying, I spread out and look like a pile of cow dung in the sky. I have no light. That's why the return is so dreadful for me. Tonight you helped me and pulled me back twice. The reason I showed you my flying tonight was because the Nawal gave me orders to let you see it, no matter how difficult or crummy it is. With my flying, I was supposed to be helping you, the same way you were supposed to be helping me when you showed me your double. I saw your whole maneuver from the door. You were so busy feeling sorry for Josefina that your body didn't notice my presence. I saw how your double came out from the top of your head. It wriggled out like a worm. I saw a shiver that began in your feet and went through your whole body, and then your double came out. It was like you, but very shiny. It was like the Nawal himself. That's why the sisters were petrified. I knew they thought it was the Nawal himself, but I couldn't see all of it. I missed the sound because I had no attention for it. I beg your pardon? The double needs a tremendous amount of attention. The narwhal gave that attention to you, but not to me. He told me that he had run out of time. She said something else about a certain kind of attention, but I was very tired. I fell asleep so suddenly that I did not even have time to put my notes away. End of chapter 3.